Well, good morning and welcome to Discovery Community Church. On this beautiful, wonderful July day, we'd like to invite you all to stand with us as we begin our worship this morning. Stand as you are able, and we'll begin by singing The Battle Belongs. We've had some really great sermon topics this week or this month, and this set's built together. We put the set together because sometimes things don't go as planned. Sometimes things go a little off. And what do we do when that happens? When things don't work out the way we plan, we always hand it over to God. We hand it over to God, and we'll be talking, singing about that today, about how we can depend on Him, about how He is in charge, He is in control, and He runs the show, right? All right, so would you join us as we begin our song, or begin our worship this morning?
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible. Cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs
power.
battle belongs to you.
Good morning. Grab some people around you. Introduce yourself to one person. That's it, one person. Just say, hi, my name is... All right, take a load off. Welcome. It's July 5th. This is the most awake I've been all morning. It has taken me, I think, now like 6 hours. Maybe not six. That would be disingenuous. 5 hours trying to wake. Anybody else? They're blowing the world up last night. It's like, wow, did you guys run out of money yet? Please. I'm sounding old, though, because earlier before the service started, we were talking about our favorite things. When it got back to me, I was like, I love blowing stuff up. So I won't pay for it anymore, but if you pay for it, I'll blow it up. So anyway, I'm glad you guys are here. Happy 4th of July weekend. Welcome to Discovery. I'm excited you're here. I thought there might be just three of us, so we are doing great, so thank you for being here. When you came in, you got a worship folder, looks like this. We just pulled out real quick. It's a bunch of stuff in here and some things I just want to highlight. This church is celebrating 25 years as a church, and it's pretty cool. So one of the things we've been doing is we've been having some stories, really since Easter, so in a few minutes. We're going to have a video story, a little testimony, just telling you a little story of what God's been doing. But in a couple weeks from now, we're going to have a thing called Disco Fest, 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Where is it? Fort Silicon Park. So is that right? So carve out some time on the 25th to be a part of that with us. We would love to have you. Did I say 25th? The 26th. I'm keep saying 25. It's the 25th on the 26th. Maybe the Davises. How about, what are you guys doing on the 27th? Could we come to your place? We need something everything of the month. So, okay, on the 25th anniversary on July 26th, Fort Silicon Park, 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock, come. Now, the week before that, on the 19th, we're going to have baptisms. Were you here last week, anybody? Wasn't that so fun? Yeah, we baptized 5 young leaders, and it was really just such a blessing. We're going to have some more baptisms on the 19th. If you have not been baptized and would like to consider that, you can do this. Take this connection card. It's this little card in here. You could just write the word baptism on there, put your name, your best contact, and we'll talk, and we'll see if this is a really good fit for you during this time and season in your life. Since we have this card out, please use it. This is a great way. Listen. We all complain about church. Everybody complains about church. And the thing that people complain the most about church is this. We complain that church is a program. We all complain about it. Sometimes we say, I hate mega churches or big churches. I want to share with you, the thing that changes church from a program to a family is this. You getting engaged. So maybe this isn't your church, and maybe you have another church you go to, maybe you're just visiting or you're looking for a church. I just want to say the church is not the person that stands on the platform. That's not the church. Jesus is the cornerstone, but what makes a church is when you make a decision to say, I'm tired of holding on to my anonymity. It's 2026. We're all really, like, we hold it really close. We don't want people to know our best contact. We're afraid to tell our story, but I just want you to know it's hard to ever experience church the way that you crave until at some point you say, I'm willing to be known. So every week we talk about a connection card. I just want to share with you, we do that on purpose. It's just a little baby step to remove the anonymity and say, I want to be known. And that's why you can just write down your name. You can say, I want to talk about being baptized, or would you just pray for me? Today you might just put your name on there and just say, you know, I want someone to know that I was here today. I wasn't just floating by. I'm a real person. So that's why we do that. Did you know that? Tracy says, I do now. So that's, at the end of the service, we're going to have our giving back to God time, and I would encourage you just to use that. And then when the service is over, we have some coffee, and we have some tea. And if you want to take a bigger step, than writing your name down on a card, I would encourage you to go over there and get a cup of coffee or tea and get to know somebody. Just say hi. It will transform this thing that we all say we don't like about church into family. Cool? Okay. You might not be convinced yet, but I'm going to keep at it, because I think that not only our world needs the church, but I think you and I need it. So I'm starting to preach, and I'm supposed to just do a welcome. So okay, what else should I say? Anything else? That's it. That's all we're going to talk about. Deal? You guys ready? Okay, so here's what we're going to do, is I'm going to pray, and then after I'm done praying, when I say amen, the screens are going to play a little video, and then after the video, we're going to sing a couple songs, and here's what we would like. We'd like for you to worship as you feel comfortable. So I think it's great to stand and sing. Your heart may be heavy, and you don't have to play games today, so you could just sit. You could open your Bible. You could read while the team's singing. You could also just take it in. You do what you need to do so we can be really honest and open before the Father today. Deal? All right. Jesus, thank you so much for this day. I would be also, it'd be a great mistake today to only thank you that you gave me breath in my heart. I am grateful for that. But on this day, it's also a really important and great day to just remember that we're here today in a nation that's been in existence 250 years, and we are really grateful for this nation. God, I think that there's been some miraculous and amazing things that have happened over the last 250 years. And while that is true, there has also been some grave, mistakes might even be the wrong word. There's been some times that this nation has participated in things that have not been heavenly focused. And so, Father, we stand here today, and we want to celebrate and remember that you have given each and all of us the privilege of being here today, alive and having breath, but being in this nation. And my prayer for this nation is that for whatever years you give us, that you would work such an incredible work in the heart of this nation, that we would be and become a people that not only crave righteousness, but we are a people who recognize our need for the gospel. I pray for a revival and awakening in my nation. I think more than anything in 2026 that we need an awakening. And so I think I'm praying here together with my friends and saying, as much as we are grateful for the privilege of being in this place, we together ask that you would work a great work so that we could, by faith, courageously live out the privileges afforded to us in this nation with a heaven-like mind. I pray this in Jesus' name.
And my family have been going to Discovery for almost 10 years, 10 years this spring. I've been involved in Discovery in a lot of different ways. I've been the small group leader for a few years. This is my second time on staff. The first time I was director of communications, and now I have more of a Sunday operations and connections role. And excited to see what's next. A lot of us here just kind of dip in and out of different roles as is needed. So I'm happy where I am now, and might just add a thing or two. Who knows? So what brought us to Discovery was a few friends of ours, especially Kirsten, who we've known ever since college. She said, if you guys ever relocate down to the Tacoma area, you should check out our church. And so we moved down in 2016, and that is just exactly what we did. Walked into those doors. We had a 5-year-old at the time, and our five-year-old and I felt at home right away. Called it home right away. We're like, this is it. This is the church. People are friendly. Good snacks. People were friendly, but they didn't like, they weren't like all over us when it was time to show up or leave, which was nice. Very welcoming presence. Tina took a little bit of convincing, but just about a year, and then we have been committed and in ever since. Here was a friend of ours and the relationships that we had, and I feel like what's kept us here is the relationships that we have made. I really did not expect to develop some of my closest friendships in my 30s and 40s at a church, at, you know, a church I started going to with my family. I have really, really good friends from high school. I have really, really good friends from college. I was set friend-wise, relationship-wise, but the growth of relationships and just kind of being on mission together with people who you worship with and are in fellowship with every week has been so, so enriching. There are two people I can think of right now that I hang out with every single week. And those are relatively new friendship. So just like service, I'm excited to see who else rises to the surface to be my next friend.
Thank you for sharing your story. Awesome. It has been such a blessing hearing everybody's stories about how they came to be at Discovery. If you would join us, go ahead and stand with us as we continue our worship today, worshiping as a family. It's been wonderful to hear the stories and see the similarities between them. And it comes down to relationships, all comes down to family. And that's my story too. Just thank you so much for sharing, those of you that have.
Like them. your power is dangerous to the enemy's camp. You still do miracles. You will do what you said, for you're the same God now as you've always been. Your spirit breaking out, your kingdom moving in, your victory claims the ground that the enemy had. You still do miracles. You will do what you said, for you're the same God now as you've always been. That's the power of your name. Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break. There is healing. That's the
keep on getting better. You keep on getting better every
trusting you are good. In the evening, I'll sing you are good. You are good to me.
Seated just for a moment. We're going to take a moment of prayer. This has become an important part of our service every week, where we just slow down, we have a little bit of music playing, and we just take time. You know, we all live very hurried lives, and we bounce from thing to thing to thing. And I want you to take a few minutes just to breathe. We sang a really cool song just now. We talked about just in the morning, whatever's going on, I'm going to make the decision to say, God, you are good. And that's a fun song to sing when the sun is shining and you've had a great weekend and the car started every day. It's a different song to sing when things aren't working. When things feel really uncertain. And so whether you've had a week full of sunshine or a week full of like stormy clouds, I want to invite you just to take a minute. And it might just start with just some silence, just stillness. But after a few moments of stillness, I want you to talk honestly with God. It might be thank you for the blessings. It also might be thank you that it's really uncertain right now, and I, by faith, am declaring that you are good. You just take a minute, whatever it is that you need to do. Everlasting. You are good. This storm, this challenge, does not alter your character. This present circumstance in no way diminishes your goodness. Love, or your love for me. And though the enemy would love for me to spin, by faith, I'm putting my feet square before the cross and declaring, God, you are good in the midst of the worst that the world has to bring. I'm trusting in Jesus, the one and only Son of God, who took everything that the world had to bring, that faced death, whose life was broken on the cross, and invited me to follow him through the cross. Father, I pray that this morning, over the course of these next few moments, as we open your word and walk through it, I pray that you might remind some of us in the depths of our souls of your goodness, of your grace, and that you have, through the power of Jesus' name, empowered me to walk through this season. a way that brings glory to your name. God, I pray that you do that in this room. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. Can you guys thank the worship team? Thank you, guys. Well, welcome again to Discovery, and we're going to keep worshiping, but now we're going to worship through Scripture. And so I want to invite you to open your Bible. If you'd like a paperback Bible, we have some. Dana has one in her hands, and there's some right next to her, so you're more than welcome to get up and go grab one. You can also find the Bible on your phone. It's 2026, man. It's a cool time to be alive. Like, there's the fact that you and I can just pull up on our phone Scripture any moment and any day, and you can have it in multiple versions. I just think that is such an awesome blessing. So anyway, find the Bible. We're going to have lots of scriptures up here. We're actually in the closing weeks of our journey through the New Testament book of Hebrews, and we've reserved the last few weeks of our study to be in and around chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. So if you have a Bible, you're going to find Hebrews chapter 11. And that's at Discovery, we walk through Scripture together. And so we've been in the book of Hebrews. In a couple of weeks, we're going to go to the Old Testament. So we're going to go to a book that was super formative in my life. We're going to be there for quite a while, 1 Samuel. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to jump in the Old Testament. So anyway, the book of Hebrews, our series is called Facing It with Faith. You might be asking, what's it? I don't know. What is your it? All of us got some its. Amen? You got an it? You got something going on right now? And something challenging? And so how do we face that challenge, that season, that difficulty? How do we face it with faith? And so we have this awesome chapter. It's probably the most well-known chapter in the book of Hebrews, certainly one of the most well-known chapters in the entire New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, and it really is all about faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, you know, when it was first written, it wasn't written with the numbers. I don't know if that's new to some of you guys. So it was like a letter. It was just one continuous letter, and so the numbers were added in later. The way I read it is that what the contents of Hebrews chapter 11 actually begin in chapter 10 and they conclude in chapter 12. And so that's why a few weeks ago, Bobby opened us up with some parts of the end of chapter 10. In chapter 10, it is this reminder and this call that God expects faith. In fact, we're going to read it again this morning in a few minutes, but Hebrews 11:6, it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So God expects faith. And then last week we talked about what faith is, and we talked about faith is this, I mean, it really is powerful. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I shared last week that word assurance could be also translated reality. So faith makes stuff happen, right? Anybody? Like, some cool things happen when we live and operate in faith. And Jesus calls you and I to faith. And last week, we just talked about making a decision to be a person of faith, putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And so that's kind of where we've been. I had a little fear, though, about last week's sermon. And maybe for some of you, fear might seem a little dramatic. But it actually was a concern of mine, is that when we talk about the power of faith, one of my fears and concerns is that we lean too hard into this ooey-gooey, mysterious thing, the slippery spiritual substance that if I can get it, my hands wrapped around it, I could finally get some good stuff to happen in my life. When we think about faith in 2026, we think about it as this kind of slippery thing, and I'm trying so hard. Like when I said it's powerful, we all like, yeah, it's powerful, but I don't know how to use it, because clearly if I had enough faith, my car would start every day. I'm being somewhat humorous, but when I talk to most of us, when we're in trials, They'll be like, man, is this happening because my faith? Did I do something wrong? Does God not love me? Do you ever feel that way? Does to me, like, I'm pretty good if the first thing happens. If I go to start the car and the car doesn't start, I'm like, okay, that's okay. Do you ever have a day like this? You go to start the car doesn't start, you're like, okay, that's okay, we got this. But then you go and you turn the, you know, washing machine on and it starts leaking. Then all of a sudden you're like, God, where did you go? What happened? Is this a spiritual attack? What did I do wrong? Was it, did you guys, anybody like this? Like, it literally takes like two things. Maybe if I'm super spiritually strong, I can go three. Like, I might hang in there for a little bit, but then I stub my toe, and the third one, I'm like, it's over, you know. So are we there? Are we kind of tracking? Like, even, like, we can sit here and open our Bibles and be like, oh, I don't feel that way. But I think when we are our most vulnerable and most honest, we typically think in 2026 that if I had faith, the slippery thing, I feel like I got, and then I lose it. But if when I have it, my marriage is just so good, and my job goes well, and I've got enough money in the bank account. And we talk about faith that way, and I think that's a terrible mistake. I want us to be clear that in no way is the book of Hebrews suggesting to us that God is sort of like in the on-deck circle. And he's just waiting to get in the game. And the thing that he's waiting on is you doing it right. That's simply not true. And it's not why we have Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is not there saying, come on, buck up. Come on, buck up. If you just believed harder, it would just pop out. That's not what Hebrews 11 is here for. Hebrews 11 is not encouraging you to find this mysterious, slippery thing called faith. Hebrews 11 is calling you to be faithful. I'd encourage you, if you're going to write anything down from this morning, I'd like you to write that down. Hebrews 11 is not inviting me to find faith. Hebrews 11 is inviting me to be faithful. Now, what I want to do this morning is I would love to start in the middle of Hebrews 10 and read all through the Hebrews chapter 12, I think some of you would fall asleep. Some of you already get some of your best rest on Sunday morning. I get that, but I'm going to work against it. So here's what I want to do this morning is I want to try to give us a bit of a survey of Hebrews 11, the whole chapter. We're going to read 1 and then down to verse 6, and then we're going to skip to verse 13. And so we're going to read like literally four different sections. I want you to hear the whole context of this fantastic chapter. So I think most of it will be up on the screen. Just follow along with me. Hebrews 11, verse 1 starts this way. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what we talked about last week, the reality. Like, faith makes things happen. Down in verse 6, and without faith it is, what's the word up here? Impossible to please God. So this is what Bobby talked about in week 1, like, God expects us to be faithful. Here it is in verse 6. Because anyone who comes in must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now verse 13. Oh, by the way, before we read verse 13, the author of Hebrews begins to tell us some stories of great people doing great things. Verse 13 says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. I want you to take note of that. All these people were still living by faith when they, what's the word up here? When they died. That's odd. It's odd to the 2026 mind. Because of course, if we had great faith, we wouldn't die. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's go down to verse 32. And what more shall we say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Anybody say amen? This is the good stuff, right? Okay, there were others who were, well, it changes. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were, there's a little word up there, all. These were, what's the word again? These were all commended for their faith. And yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Maybe you can see why I had this fear last week when we were talking about the power of faith and how much your marriage and your parenting journey, your work life, how much our nation needs people of faith. And while it is true that faith is powerful and amazing things happen through the prayers of a faithful woman or a faithful man, amazing things take place. What is true is Hebrews 11 is not trying to conjure up some sort of special mystical power in you. Like you're some sort of wizard, you're some sort of Harry Potter. That if you just say the right, you know, words in the right order, and if you put the right mix, that you'll get what you want. No, the book of Hebrews is inviting you to instead be faithful in whatever situation and circumstance God has placed you in right now. And that's the power. The power is not in the earthly outcome, but in the heavenly one. And God right now, at this very moment in your life, is inviting you to choose faithfulness to him. And what does it look to be faithful? I think that preach is easy, and I've been thinking about this week. Like, what would I say to somebody about what does it mean to be faithful? Like, if you found yourself right now in a tough spot, and you're saying, okay, how am I supposed to be faithful right now? What does that look like? I'm going to share with you what I believe Scripture is inviting us to be faithful in difficult seasons. Number one, being faithful is being Jesus-focused. Again, the New Testament is not inviting you and I to positive thinking. I know that's sort of our bent in 2026. When we say, hey, you got to use faith, we think, man, I gotta be like a silver lining person. You know, I got to just, it's going to be good. I don't know how, but I'm going to just believe, and somehow something poof will pop. That's not what the New Testament's inviting you and I to. The New Testament is inviting you to put your complete trust in Jesus who died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. I mentioned earlier how important it is for us, that we have context of Hebrews 11. I said it starts in chapter 10, and it concludes in chapter 12. And I want you to see the whole pulse and direction of this entire chapter. It concludes in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2 says this, fix our eyes on, only a couple of you read it. Let's all do it together. Fix our eyes on who is the author and perfecter, and here it says the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So the author in Hebrews is saying, listen, this whole thing about being faithful is about focusing 100% on Jesus, the one and only Son of God. In Luke 18, there's this wonderful moment. I mean, there's so many wonderful moments in the New Testament, but here's one where there's a guy who needs God to do something. Sound familiar? Anybody need God to do somebody? Some of you are not catching on. Damien, do you need God to do something? Always, okay. So, Chris, how about you? Do you need God to do something, anything? You've been there at least once, all right? So there's this guy in Luke 18. He needs God to do something. And by the way, he actually believes that God can do it. And he's on the side of the road, and he's like, God, oh, Jesus is coming by? He's like, well, I actually believe in Jesus, and I want Jesus to do something. Now, when Jesus hears this, interestingly enough, he doesn't immediately take his blindness away. He could have, right? I mean, in 2026, if you have faith and you're like, I really believe, I should be able to see. But Jesus does something so interesting. He pauses and he says, bring the gentleman to me. Luke 18, verse 40, Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him one question. What do you want? Do you see it up here? What do you want me to do for you? The entire New Testament is focused on Jesus the Christ and inviting you and I to put our faith and trust in him. This is why in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Pause there for a moment. I just want to pause because some of you are like, well, I don't know what he's talking about, prophesying and demons. Let's just translate this. Jesus says, there's going to be a ton of people one day who's like, hey, I was pretty good. Like, I paid my taxes most of the time. There was that one time I opened the door for that old lady. I actually took some cookies that weren't stale over to my neighbor once. I'm a pretty good person. Fact, to be honest, I go to church two out of 4 weeks I go to church. I'm a pretty good person. This is what Jesus is talking about. One day, people are going to show up and be like, hey, I did good stuff for God. And this is what Jesus says. And this is what I'm saying. I just want you to hear what Jesus says. Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus isn't concerned. He's not worried. He doesn't have a chart in heaven with gold stars. And if you get enough gold stars, you're okay. What Jesus is inviting you to do is put your faith and trust in him completely. He wants to know you. And if you miss that, you miss everything. What does it mean to be faithful? The New Testament is not inviting you and I to take positive energy. The New Testament is inviting us to put our faith and trust in Jesus alone. Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. I think this is a great picture of, like, it's that great help. Like, how do I lean into Jesus during this season? And the first is, like, if you're in a really tough place, tough season, you're like, how am I going to be faithful? Worship Jesus. I mean, I know you're stressed out right now. And, like, I'll tell you what happens when I get stressed out. And maybe you're not like me, but when I get stressed out, I work harder. Like, I push and I go and I go and I go and I go. But what if, during this season of craziness, you carved out time to just turn on some worship music? You're not reading a book. You're not preparing for a meeting. You're not balancing the checkbook. You're not finding the next place to live, the next car to buy. But just a few minutes, you're falling in love with Jesus again. Friend, I want you to know your soul needs that during this season. Like, how are you going to be faithful right now? By worshiping Jesus. The second one is he loves with your mind. What does that mean? Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's another good one. Proverbs chapter 3 says, do not trust. Oh, I lost it. It's not even in my notes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean. Thank you. Some of you are like, he forgot that one? Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own. So you guys know it better than me. Understanding. You know, the whole principle is this, is that you don't see right now the way God sees. Amen? And so we now, in this time, if we're going to really lean into who Jesus is, be Jesus-focused, we actually need to carve out time, not just for worship, but say, Jesus, I need to see the way that you see. Because I just don't see this situation, this circumstance, in the way that you do. I don't see it from heaven's perspective. Amen? Like, I know, I don't. I want it from my perspective, but heaven has a different perspective. So love the Lord with your heart and with your mind. And then strength is just simply this, just be obedient. I don't think we read all this a minute ago, but in Matthew 7, after Jesus said, I never knew you away from me, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. How are you faithful to Jesus right now? Sometimes you don't know how's this going to turn out, but you say this, Jesus, I'm going to be obedient to what I know is your character and your mission right now. Being faithful means being Jesus-focused, heart, mind, and strength. The second way to be faithful is, and I'll be honest, sometimes I really love my points, like I worked on them and they're just so good. And you should make them into t-shirts. They're so good. The language here in point number two, I don't really like so much, but I think you'll understand as I walk it out. Number two is being faithful means being community connected. And so going back to Hebrews 11, we want to treat this text carefully. We said Hebrews 11 is really, it's all about like focusing on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, right? But Hebrews 11 is also reminding us that each and every one of us are part of a broader story. I know we're Americans and we are individuals. We love our individualism, but what's true about you and true about me is that we are actually part of a big family of faith. And it's that big family of faith, we live different. Let me share with you an example. I don't think this one will be on the screen, but Hebrews 12, 1 says, remember that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So just before it talks about Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, it says, remember, sort of like if you're in the middle of a soccer pitch, and there are thousands of people in the stands all around you. today, in this moment, in this season in your life, remember that you actually have thousands of people and eyes and stories around you at this very minute. And then actually, in the beginning of this whole passage, back in Hebrews chapter 10, I do have this one in my notes, verse 29, it says, "We do not belong to those who shrink back." I love that. That's, if you want to write down a verse to hold on to, that's a good one. "We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." The author of Hebrews is saying, listen, before we go into this whole story of all these people, Abraham and Isaac and David, and I'll go through this whole history, I want you to know you are part of that story. That's your family. That's who you are. And now live it out. You and I, we stand on great shoulders of faith. And now it's our turn to live it out. I mean, sometimes in all honesty, that keeps me from just screwing it up. For you, do you ever just stop and say, you know, well, maybe, what if somebody saw me? I think I've told this story before. I wasn't going to tell it, but I got to tell it now. So anyway, I told this story before, but a number of years ago, I'm going to say like 15 years ago, Tracy and I have not had a lot of fun vacations. And she's reminded me often that we honeymooned in Branson, Missouri. I took her to a fish feeding station. Oh, yeah, fish hatchery, yeah. Yeah. But it was a station. You could put a quarter in, turn it. Okay, never mind. But somebody treated us once. Someone said, hey, would you like to go to Hawaii? And we're like, Hawa? Hawa? And so they actually treated us. We went to Hawaii. And I don't know if you've never gone, off the reservation, if you never left town and you're going to leave town. And there's this little thing, this part in the back of your mind that's a little dark. It's like, no one's going to know me there. What would we do in Hawaii? What happens in Hawaii stays in Hawaii. So there is this little part of me that's like, you know what? We're going to be in this island in the middle of nowhere. I don't even have to be a pastor. And so Tracy and I land in Honolulu, and we're getting our bags off the carousel. And I'm getting the bags off, and all of a sudden someone says, Pastor John. I was like, what? Oh, hi, that's weird, in Hawaii. And I shook it off, and then a little later, we were going to go out of town, and we were going to stay in Airbnb, and we stopped at Safeway on the way out of, is it Oahu, is that what it's called, Maui? I don't remember, whatever the place is. Anyway, we stop at Safeway, and we're walking through Safeway, and I'm walking down the aisles, and someone says, Pastor John, by the way, it was Kelly. So Kelly Swalson, she was just, I'm like, Kelly, I'm like, this is so weird. And then I think what made me think of this is looking at you, Darren, because literally the next day, I'm like, I'm shaking all this off. We're on our vacation. I don't have to be Pastor John. We're walking down by the beach, and we walk right by the Cheesecake Factory, and someone says, Pastor John, and it's your parents. It's Darren's parents. We're sitting there, and I was like, this is so weird. You can't escape. But there's a great cloud of witnesses. You know, listen. Isn't that a good story? So I want you to know that whether you feel alone or not, you have this crowd that's not waiting for you to mess up. This crowd that's like, hey, we've been there. So Hebrews 11 is all about, like, we've been there, we've walked in this, and now you get to walk it out. 1 Peter 5 says, resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. How are you going to be faithful right now? You can be faithful right now because around the world at this very minute, your brothers and sisters are enduring trials like yours. some far greater and sure, some far less. But your brothers and sisters in this family around the world are standing up and choosing to be faithful in their moments. And so you today, in this marriage crisis, in this challenge with parenting, in this challenge with your job, with your physical and mental and spiritual health, you can be faithful too. How am I going to be faithful? Number three, the last one, is being faithful is heavenly rewarded. I just want to take you back to verse 13. In Hebrews 11, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they, what was the word? When they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them. Is it possible for these great men and women of faith to be faithful and not get what they wanted and needed and desired here and now? Is that possible? Is it possible to have a great and brilliant faith and things not go well here? Absolutely. That's why Paul writes in the book of Philippians, he says, I now consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. In fact, I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ. Is it possible that God is calling me to faith, not so that I could use it to make things better here, but is it possible God's calling me to faith so that I would have the faith to endure what is being provided to me at this moment? And what is being provided to me at this moment may be very difficult. 1 John 2 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires will pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. There is a reward for you. And it is not so little as these trinkets that the world offers us. It is grand, it is beautiful, and it is worth every decision that you are about to make. Let me encourage you to fix your eyes on the gift that is being made for you. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. So let me encourage you to fix your eyes toward him. I want to close with one verse from the book of Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution. 10 days, but be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life. I will give you life as your victor's crown. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I'm praying in this room just the pulse in our world. To treat faith as a tool. I feel like that whole mindset just reveals that we have placed our hopes in this world that's passing away. Instead, Father, I'm praying right now that you would strengthen knees and backs, that you would embolden hearts in this room, that we might be found faithful. And the faithfulness that you call for is a faithfulness that's fixed on your Son Jesus. This morning, friend, if you're here and you've never invited Jesus into your life, I read just so briefly such an important verse in Matthew 7. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, right now, let me encourage you, just pause and pray a prayer like this. Jesus, will you save me? Right now, here on July 5th, 2026, let Jesus save you. Father, I'm praying that you would embolden us in this room to be faithful. Remember that there's a cloud of witnesses all around, and that this is our moment, our time. And trust that whatever happens here and now, may it be for your glory. May our aim be only hearing you one day say, well done, good and faithful servant. May we be faithful. Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you want some help in the journey, the stuff we talked about is just real, and it lives kind of hard. But if you want somebody to be in the journey with you, I'd love to be a part of the journey. I think there's other people in the room that would love that too. I want you to hang out. I'll be in the back. You can just say, hey, John, could we pray for a minute? I'd love to do that today. You can also use that connection card. In just a minute, we're going to pass these baskets. You could write down, pray for me. Earlier I talked about dropping your anonymity. I'm also going to tell you, you may be afraid to put your name on the front of the card, but if you just say, pray for me, we'll pray for whoever's not on the front of the card, and God will know, and we'll have people praying for you this week. Just take a minute today and invite Jesus in. Invite this community of faith in. If some of you wish, we're a deeply generous church. We ask guests not to put any money in the basket. If this becomes your church family, we think giving's a big part of the journey. I'm no shame here inviting you to live generously. This church is a generous church, and this is part of worship. And so if this becomes church home, we'd love for you to worship the God who provides by giving back. So I'm going to invite the team to come and pass the baskets. After they pass the baskets, we're going to sing a song and close our time together. So I think I'll come up and say one other thing before we leave, but let's do that. Absolutely will not fail. You are the victor. You have made us more than conquerors. Father, I pray in the days ahead and the hours ahead in this room, you would embolden our feet to walk with steps of faith. I pray in Jesus' name that we would be faithful. Some of us in this room, those steps may be a little bit smoother than others. For some of us in the room, the message this morning, the reminder this morning is calling us into a very difficult and challenging place. I pray in Jesus' name that you would carry my friends into those places. And Father, whatever you've placed before us, we will not serve the trinkets of this world. We will aim for heaven. Father, again, as we mentioned earlier, that this is a special weekend as a nation. We are grateful for the privileges that we have 250 years. I do pray in Jesus' name that you would raise an awakening in our country, that as a nation we would be a heaven-focused people. Father, I pray that there would be righteousness that doesn't come from a human righteousness, but is from submitting to and recognizing the power of Jesus. God, I pray in the days ahead that you would just work an amazing work in our world. Thank you for the privileges. May we carry those privileges forward with a gospel-centered approach. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, thank you so much for being here today. We got some coffee and some tea. Hang out for a little bit. If you'd like to help, we could use some help tearing things down. We're not going to tear down for about 5 minutes, though. So, hey, God bless you guys.